Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams, or macros, or anything else, so you can easily get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. That's what it's all about. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. Ronan, I just got a message from Nicole that she can't get through. So if you could call her, call Nicole back if you can, because she has a question and she can't get through. Okay, so if you'd like to join me today, like Nicole clearly is anxious to join already, the number here in my home office, not the studio, is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. That is the office in the studio, not my personal number. And Ronan, the engineer, will patch you through. Okay, so here's the thing. When it comes to binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the key to change is not dealing with... Hi, Nicole.
Hi there.
I'm fine. Now, once again, hopefully this will be resolved next week. But once again, I've got to kind of share what you say with the Instagram people so what's going on?
All right. So I know that last week we had to hang up, but I was talking about how my boyfriend was kind of, he was telling me to work out with this trainer. He's like, you can, because I told you, remember the battle with the blueberry muffin, and he was really supportive, and
recapping. So okay. Nicole, if you've been listening for a while, you know Nicole's story. If you're a new listener, Nicole has done an amazing job of shifting from focusing on what she's eating and focusing on the number on the scale to looking at, well, what's going on within her? What is eating at her? What's really going on? And last week we got to the end of the show and she was sharing that her boyfriend had her working with a trainer who was probably not the best fit for you, right, Nicole? Would you say?
Yeah, I think not the best fit, and I think we both recognize that. But I guess my boyfriend was being really loving and helping in the sense that he was saying, "I want you to stop obsessing about what you're eating and instead like obsess about fitness." So he just kind of wanted to shift my attention from
your boyfriend. Okay, so your boyfriend, her boyfriend wanted her to shift from focusing about food to focusing about fitness. The problem is that doesn't work. That's shifting one weed for another weed. And the whole point is to get rid of the weeds. A weed is a behavior, something that you're doing, as opposed to getting to the root issue, looking at why you're doing it. So I would say don't shift from an obsession with calories and carbs to an obsession with fitness. Neither of those are good.
And I know that we were working together to kind of, do the thing. We were working together to kind of, you said to me, you work out because it feels good and you don't need to earn your calories. So this was kind of contradicting, I feel like the work we were doing together. And I don't know, I just feel,
let me stop you. I know this is hard. Hopefully this is the last time we're going to have to do this because we'll get our audio set up. I think the problem is I had a bad cable or something, so I've got to get a new one. But Nicole is saying that she knows it's not about, it's not about the calories. It's not about that. That's not a healthy way to live. And you've got to really look at what else is motivating you. It's one thing to want to be fit. It's another thing to think you've got to work out to earn your calories. And by the way, if I was in the studio, I would do the large audience applause for what you just said, which is that you shouldn't have to work out to earn your calories. We work out because it's good for our bodies, not because we want to eat cake or anything else.
Yeah. So I think that it's just, it's been a little bit, I don't know if I want to use the word challenge, but I know that he is like trying to be super loving and help, but I think maybe because he doesn't understand everything, because he's not, I don't want to use the word fucked up, but like messed up in the head like I am when it comes
Wait a minute, I gotta stop you. No. Right. God, Instagram people, I wish you could hear me, her, so that you know why I'm going, what? She's saying that he doesn't understand because he's not messed up in the head like she is. No, you are not messed up in the head. You have learned. You've been taught. Nicole, you have a mother who, when she eats something she thinks she shouldn't eat, says she should be dead with dirt over her head. This is what you have been raised with. So you have been conditioned to think a certain way, as if it's bad to eat certain things. You're not messed up in the head. You just learned a way of being in the world and a way of relating to food, and have these crazy food rules that so many people have, by the way. You learned it, and what you learned, you can unlearn. So this is not about you being messed up. This is about you having some ideas that you've taken as realities that you're now starting to challenge. And that's so important. You're starting to challenge these notions. You're not messed up. You're smart and tenacious and capable. That's what you are. You've called me every week for like, what, 2 years or something. So, and you've changed so much in that time. So, no, you're not messed up in the head. You have some messed up ideas that were taught to you that you took as reality. That's all.
Yeah.
And I would say to your boyfriend, look, don't talk to me. We're not going to talk about, we're just going to take this off the table. We're not going to talk about fitness or he's trying his best, but he doesn't understand. You could say, look, it's not about, you know, getting upset, changing one obsession for the other. That's like, you know, what is it they used to say? People would go to AA and they'd end up getting, they'd stop drinking and they'd get addicted to coffee and cigarettes. So
the other thing I want, sorry, I let you finish and then I want to tell you about peanut butter and cheese.
All right. So I'm done. Now she's going to tell me about peanut butter and cheese. So people on Instagram, hold on. I will tell you about peanut butter and cheese as soon as she tells me about peanut butter and cheese.
Yeah. Okay. So you know, I like both those things. And I think that living together, Dan has noticed that I eat a lot of peanut butter and cheese. So like when I'm hungry, I'll have some peanut butter, or I'll have a piece of cheese. And he mentioned something like, you know, we should add other things. Well, I think I mentioned it and he's like agreed or something, or like, and he's like, okay, maybe we should like get a nutritionist. Like you need to get other things. You need to eat other things. And because of that medication that I take, I don't get really hungry, you know? So if I feel a little bit hungry, I'll just have like something, like just a little piece of something, you know, to like keep me going and make me feel okay. And so actually, I think you also said you can't be nutritious. You said to see a I don't know. Anyways, what do you think about that?
I think that if you are having proper, so she's saying that when she's hungry, she has peanut butter and cheese. So what I'm hearing is I'm eating bad foods. And is that okay on some level? Because you thought that these were quote unquote bad foods before. And that like, you know, a lot of people like you have this notion that there are good foods in one column and bad foods in another column. And good foods are things like kale and salad and vegetables and, you know, things like that. And bad food is, you know, peanut butter, cheese, anything, pizza, whatever it is. And the problem with that way of thinking is that it makes you feel like you're a good you if you're eating from the good category, and you're a bad you if you're eating from the quote unquote bad category. So it ties your sense of self too much to what you're eating. So mm-hmm. when you get rid of these categories and you say, no, it's just like, instead of good and bad, it's, well, what's healthy, you know, a spectrum of healthy to not so healthy. And mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with eating cheese. There's nothing wrong with eating peanut butter. It's mm-hmm. it's just another choice. Do I think it's good to have a wide range of foods that you eat? Yes. Do I think it's good that you're able to eat cheese and peanut butter without feeling some acute guilt? Yes. But I think that having a lot to choose from is good. But here's the thing that's really important. Is that when you are on a diet or you have this good food, bad food kind of sensibility, then you are looking to some subscribed, you know, diet or something on the outside to tell you what you should or shouldn't eat, as opposed to mm-hmm. what do you want? Because sometimes we want mm-hmm. peanut butter and cheese, and sometimes we want an apple if we listen mm-hmm. to ourselves. Or sometimes we want a cookie. Sometimes we want some chips. Like, and I'm talking about just eating them in moderation. When you don't have the anticipation of deprivation, you can eat mm-hmm. them without overeating them or even binging mm-hmm. on them. So
the thing is, I'm not feeling guilty about eating any of those things. Like, I feel okay about eating them.
Just make sure you're having a wide variety.
Yeah. I guess one day it was just like, all I had was peanut butter and cheese until dinner.
Are you not eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner? That's not good. Again, this is not my area. My area is not food. I don't talk about food except for how it relates psychologically. So mm-hmm. here's my advice. If you want to see a nutritionist, Nicole, you could call yourself a nutritionist. Anyone on the planet can call themselves a nutritionist. You want to make sure you see a registered dietitian.
Yeah. And then the other day I was eating peanut butter and he's like, peanut butter again. And so that
he needs to stop making comments.
How do I say that?
I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to tell them what you said. So Nicole was eating peanut butter. Her boyfriend said, oh, peanut butter again. Which, of course, I'm sure made you feel some kind of guilt or shame or self-consciousness, something like that.
Yeah.
So what do you want to say to him? You say, you know what? I don't need any comments. You can't be the food police. Don't try to help me by commenting about food, because you know what? That doesn't help. It actually backfires. Just say it. Mm. I know you're trying to help. Okay. But when you say that, it doesn't make me feel good. It makes me feel self-conscious. And I don't like it. Please don't mention anything about what I'm eating and don't try to help.
Okay. Really? Is that mean?
How is that mean? You're helping him understand you better. Setting a boundary for you is not mean. That's self-care.
Got it. Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you're good with that. You're welcome.
I'm trying to think if there's, that's what I wanted to ask about today, but I was trying to think if there's anything else comes to mind. Can we talk about Passover real quick?
Okay. So Nicole has a question about Passover. What's your question? Which is tonight.
I feel like Passover, because there are things you can eat and you can't eat, I feel like that kind of creates some sort of like weird thing, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So with Passover for 8 days, you know, you can't, you could have to eat matzah, not bread, and this or that. And she's saying it creates this weird thing. And I think by what do you mean by this weird thing?
Kind of anticipation of deprivation, or like, you can't have it, so you want it more, that type of thing.
Yeah. So
my question's not very clear. So if you want, we can hang up because they can't hear me anyways.
I know. Hopefully this will be resolved next week. But
we'll talk next week.
I just want to say it does create the anticipation of deprivation. Whether you celebrate Passover or Easter or anything else, when you're told you can't have something, or just when you go on a diet and you're told you can't have something, that makes you want it more. And so just being aware of that and being able to tell yourself, you know what, this is something that I'm choosing to do. and I could choose not to do it, but I'm, mm-hmm. you know, it only lasts 8 days. I'll see if I mm-hmm. want to do it these 8 days.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not going to do it because I feel like it creates too many problems for me.
That's good. That's healthy. That's self-care. That's deciding, hey, these rules may or not be right for
work
you.
For me. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. Okay. More All of right. that, Nicole. More of that would be good.
Thank you.
All right. Happy Passover.
Thanks. Happy Passover. Okay. Bye.
Bye. All right. Yeah. So part of doing the show from home is we're going through a little bit of a learning curve about how to set everything up so that it could be heard in Instagram as well as on the show. So sorry, guys, if you're watching on Instagram, it's kind of hard to follow. But so what I was started to say was that when it comes to binge eating, stress eating, especially now, a lot of stress eating during this time of safer at home. When it comes to that, it's not what you're eating that is the problem. Food is not the problem. Food is the solution to the problem. It is not what you are eating that is the problem. It is what is eating at you. Okay, so again, if you would like to join me today, the number is 818-602-4929. You can also message me in Facebook and let me know if you have any questions, like Nicole just did. And now I'm going to talk about 10 ways to feel better about your body, even when you don't feel good about your body. So if you want to feel better about your body, I have 10 inspirational tips that'll make you appreciate your body more than ever before, even if you've always hated the way you look. How does that sound? Sound good? Here we go. Okay. So here are some These are my favorite inspirational sayings and tips. The first one is loving your body only when it's perfect is like only loving your kids when they behave perfectly. How about that? Food for thought, right? Love is unconditional, and that includes your love, appreciation, and care for yourself, for your body. Your dress size is no more important than your shoe size. Another one of my favorites. Obviously, that's why it's on the list. So believe it or not, there was a time in China when foot binding was a status symbol. The smaller the foot, the greater the beauty. So you had these women with these teeny tiny feet that were bound when they were babies. So they had like baby-sized feet and they couldn't walk. And anyway, it was all about keeping women down. But it was seen as a great sign of beauty and status. So I hope that one day people will look back at these times and think that our desperate striving to be thin, to be thinner, is just as crazy as foot binding. Wouldn't that be amazing? Your dress sizes or your jean size, because I know there are a lot of guys listening, unless you're a cross-dresser, that won't apply to you. So let me amend that. Your jean size is no more important than your shoe size. Number three, babies aren't born disliking their bodies. Something to keep in mind. Babies and toddlers have zero judgment on their bodies, but somewhere along the line, that changes. At some point, a lot of us learn to hate our bodies. So let's focus on appreciating ourselves instead of attacking ourselves, especially now when, you know, just when being healthy is a blessing. Somehow the size of your thighs is, or, you know, whether you've got a six pack or an eight pack or, you know, a dad bod is less important when you're just thinking about being healthy, when so many people around us are not. And by the way, someone very, very close to me is in the hospital right now. And I it's so scary. And I'm tearing up. My heart goes out to everyone who is fighting this virus, and who has loved ones who are fighting this virus. We've got to just support them and send love out and do everything that we can to keep ourselves and each other safe. So Babies aren't born disliking their bodies. You've never seen a toddler or a little baby making fun of their body. So, you know, what you learn can be unlearned. Just like Nicole learned these rules, like don't eat that, but not that. If you eat this, it makes you a bad person. If you eat that, you're going to be what, you know, all these rules that we have that we take as truth, they're learned. We can unlearn them. Tip number four is no one's ever hated themselves into loving themselves. Criticizing your body will never lead to self-esteem. No one has ever berated themselves, criticized themselves, or judged themselves into feeling better about themselves. It is not motivational to hate on yourself. Treating yourself nicely is the key to feeling good. That's it. It's the key to feeling good. If you don't treat yourself nicely, you know, if you're mean to yourself, you feel bad. And if you feel bad and you don't have a way to support yourself and soothe yourself and make yourself feel better, because what you're really good at is judging and criticizing and beating yourself up, then guess what? You are really vulnerable to eating to get away from your own mean voice. So treating yourself nicely is the key to feeling good. And when you feel good, you don't eat for comfort or reward or distraction because you already feel good. How's that? This is such a perfect quote. It's by Marcia Hutchinson, who's a body image expert. She said, if you talk to your friends the way you talk to your body, you'd have no friends left. Yep, that pretty much sums it up. I got to say it again. It's so good. If you talk to your friends the way you talk to your body, you'd have no friends left. So talk to your body as if your body was a friend. After all, your body is your only home. Your body is you. And if you don't take care of your body, if you don't love your body, no, where will you live? Number six, be beautiful like you, not beautiful like someone else. Or handsome or attractive. Appreciate your unique beauty inside and out and never compare yourself to anyone else. Yes, this is easier said than done, but guess what? Practice makes progress, guys. Practice makes progress. The more you practice being nicer to yourself, the easier it gets. The more you stop yourself when you start comparing yourself to someone you know or someone on Instagram or someone on a TV show or anybody or an influencer or anybody else. The moment you start saying, that person is somehow better than me because I'm not that like they are, then you're just putting yourself down. And that's not very nice. So just say, what? They're on their path. They look the way they look. I'm on my path, and I'm going to be the best me and the kindest to me that I can be. Number seven, sexy is not a size. Ain't that the truth? Sexy is an attitude that makes you desirable, appealing, exciting, and interesting. That's what sexy is, and that is not attached to a number on the scale. No, it is not. Oh, well, I already said this one earlier as I was explaining another one. But number eight is take care of your body. It is where you live. Don't wait until you're thinner or stronger or tighter or lighter to appreciate your body. Take care of your body just as you would take care of all of your stuff. Your body is your most valuable home. It is your most valuable asset. It needs your TLC. Not your abuse. Don't have an abusive relationship to you. Number nine, appreciate all that your body can do. Your body can give life. It can take you through life. Whether you're playing with kids or going on vacation, enjoying a walk, working out, enjoying even a meal. That's your body enjoying, you know, you're supposed to enjoy food, guys. You know, you're supposed to actually enjoy it. You can't enjoy it without taste buds, and taste buds are part of your body. Your body takes you where you want to go through life, except for these days. It takes you maybe outside to the grocery store and to different parts of your place, but this too will end. Realize that your body is pretty amazing. And there's nothing like, you know, watching this, these videos of people on ventilators just fighting to breathe, to realize how much we take for granted. We take breathing for granted. We can take a deep sigh when we're healthy, no big deal. But when that is taken away from us, we realize how amazing our bodies are. They keep us alive. So let's appreciate all that our bodies can do. And number 10, promise yourself today to stop letting the size of your genes or the number on the scale dictate how you feel about yourself. Appreciate other things. Appreciate how you make your friends laugh. Appreciate how much people love your hugs, except these days. How much you appreciate your work ethic, your creativity, all the qualities about you that other people love. There is so much more to you than the number on the scale. There is so much more to you than the number on the scale. Why don't you see yourself through other people's eyes and appreciate who you are, not just focus on what you weigh. Okay, so those are my 10 tips to feel better about your body, even when you don't feel good about your body. Let me know which of those resonates with you, which doesn't. Love to hear from you. And if you have any questions, you can, again, you can call me, 818-602-4929. You can leave me a message on Facebook, or you could even, if you're on Instagram, you can also just, text me, drop a comment and ask a question. Okay, so I got an email this week from one of my email subscribers after I shared an article about my story on, and she said, "Thank you for sharing your story. I think you should share this with your listeners. It made me have more compassion for myself, and it could help other people." So this is the article. It's pretty raw. It's pretty real. And I'm just going to share it. It was published by GURZE, G-U-R-Z-E. They're just a huge, amazing help in terms of helping people with eating disorders. And they asked me to write this, and I was really happy to do so. And I'm happy to share it with you, too. It's a little scary to do it, but here goes. This is part of my story. It's called The Three Essential Keys to My Recovery. Now, you guys know that I don't like the word recovery. I like the word liberation, but they asked me they said that was going to be the title. So I said, okay, but I would call it Three Essential Keys to My Liberation from Obsessing About Food, Weight, and Body Image. Here goes. Okay. I ran faster and faster, my feet sprinting over the blue gymnastics mat. I launched my body forward, cartwheeling over the mat in a blur of legs and energy. I finished, legs bent, sticking the landing. I straightened, beaming. At 11 years old, I was the youngest girl on the gymnastics team in London, where my family had relocated from California. I was also the only gymnast on the team who could do an aerial cartwheel. I looked expectantly at Coach, anticipating his pleased reaction. Coach was leaning towards Tracy, the undisputed star of our team and his favorite. When I stood next to Tracy, I felt like a Leviathan next to a fairy. "Don't let that yank beat you," he said, scowling in my direction. A rush of hurt and disappointment heated my face. My smile faltered. Determined not to cry, I left the gymnasium with a hollow feeling in my chest. Dinner that night was broiled chicken. I hated chicken, but I couldn't stop eating it. Swallowing filled a growing empty space within. Oh.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to the show. Is this Andrea?
Hi, Dr. Nina. Yes, it is.
I recognize your voice. Hi there.
Go figure. How are you?
I am fine, thank you. And bear with me, we still have not been able to hook up the Instagram, so I'm going to have to, when you talk, I'm going to have to share what you're saying with the audience on Instagram. So
no
apologies
problem,
for that.
No problem. So I have so much to tell you. Remember I had called in like a month ago and I had told you about my Maui birthday trip and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I had to cancel Maui because of this. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so my birthday was on Monday and I had to give you an update that I actually had a very lovely birthday despite that.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. So I ended up buying myself and my parents, obviously, we got different types of cake and I just really enjoyed it. Like, I didn't feel guilty about eating. I didn't, you know, I wasn't counting calories or didn't even hop on the scale after. Yes, I felt a bit full, but you know, I was like, you know what, this is my birthday. I feel good. So I felt really good about eating it.
Okay. I love that. So she is saying it was her birthday on Monday. Happy birthday. And she had cake and she ate it and enjoyed it and did not feel guilty, which is huge, right? That is really, it's huge.
So that's one thing I have to give you an update on. And I also had to give you an update on this. So I saw your 5 fun and funky ways to beat stress eating. And I've been trying the different little tips that you've been giving. So I did like the blogging. I didn't actually publish it, but I wrote it. And then I started doing this thing because you talked about journaling and how that really sets you free. And that reminded me of something that you said earlier. You were talking about, it was a quote, something about be beautiful like you and being unique and just sort of loving yourself literally like 5 minutes ago. And that's sort of what I've been implementing when I've been writing. So I've been doing these journal entries where I'm not pissed or anything like that. It's more the fact that it's like a love letter to myself, basically. Instead of pointing out all the self-doubt and all that, like everything that is negative about myself, I sort of flipped the switch and have taken that moment to really love myself. Because I know sometimes during the day and things like that, I just get so overwhelmed and frustrated by life and everything that's going on. So I've strictly made a time for myself to love on myself.
That is beautiful. And so if I can recap, Andrea, last week I talked on the show about, you know, 10 fun and funky ways that other things that you can do besides stress eating. And I also put it on Facebook and I put 5 of them and another 5 is coming on my Instagram. And so she did a couple of them. And one of the things that she did was journaling. And rather than journal about the things that she didn't like about herself, she flipped the switch, as she said, and started journaling about the things she appreciated and liked about herself. And it was really, helpful. So I love that you did that, because when we find the evidence we look for, when we look for evidence that we're not good enough, we will find it. But when we look for evidence of good enoughness or things that we appreciate and like and love about ourselves, we will also find that.
That's absolutely it. And sometimes, like, I realize, okay, some days it doesn't come. Mind you, I've only been doing this for a couple days, but I'm enjoying it because there's moments where it's like a bit tougher to find things that I love about myself. But I'm trying to be gentle as possible and be curious instead of critical, which you always say. And it's helping. It's helping big time, especially through this madness, through everything that's happening. So I find that's my me time.
I love that. I got to update. She's saying that one of the things I always say is be curious, not critical. And she's adopted that as kind of a way of being, and that it's really changing the way that she is feeling, and that when she's journaling, that is her me time. And so you're recharging that way instead of using food, is what I'm hearing. Not that you said that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly. And I feel full, not full like the way food would make me full, but just like happy and content and at peace. And it's weird because I keep telling everybody this. I was like, since my birthday, because that's really when I first started adopting all of these things, or it may have been the night before. Nonetheless, it's like I've been doing this and I find my mindset has shifted drastically. How I feel, how much I eat, what I eat. It's just a nice feeling.
It's amazing.
It's such a nice feeling because it's something that I've never had. I'm never I'm not as anxious, which is absolutely amazing. So I owe that to you and just everything you talk about.
Sweet.
Like it's incredible. It really, really is. And I want to end up using some of the other things you talk about, like things that aren't necessarily like I remember you had said something about going back to the future and, you know, your future self talking to you today and things like that. And I'm like, that's actually really cool. I like that. Like, what is my future self going to say to me? How am I going to have that conversation? And it's shifting my perspective so much.
When you change, I love what you're saying. And, you know, when you change the way that you relate to yourself, you change the way you change your relationship with food.
You really do.
And that's why, like, people are always confused when I say, I don't talk about food with anybody. Like, the only way I talk about food is like, why did you eat it? Not what did you eat? And I don't say eat this, not that, because I'm not a dietitian. I'm what you're saying is about what I do, which is, hey, when you change your mindset, when you change the way you think, when you change the way you think about yourself and relate to yourself, everything changes. Food is a solution to the problem. It is not the problem. And when you find a new way to resolve the problem, which may be your relationship with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of that. Then everything changes. It's amazing.
It is, because I know before I was more hungry for love. Like that's sort of that was the bottom line for me. But now that it's like I'm giving myself that love and that self-care, I'm not relying on food.
What you said was so powerful. So you know, what she said was that now that she's giving herself love, before she was hungry for love and this was, you know, food would fill the empty place. Would that be true? Yeah. Food would fill the empty void within. But now that she is loving towards herself, she's fulfilled. She's fulfilled. She's not hungry anymore. And therefore, she doesn't need food to symbolically fill a void. The void is closing up. Because
absolutely. And food was always reliable. But now it's like I'm slowly starting to be reliable to myself and for myself, if that makes sense. So it's super exciting. And I had to share that with you because it's been like a week of very much just a lot of self-exploration. But it's awesome. And I'm happy. And no, I'm not sitting on a beach in Maui with a cocktail in my hand. But I am enjoying other aspects of life. I am like wine. Little things like, okay, I have a glass of wine, not right now, obviously, because it's still midday, but just there's other things that I'm finding joy in.
Yes. And when you find joy in life, you know, when you enjoy life and aspects of life are fun and fulfilling, then you don't use food for that purpose.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
I had
to share that with you.
I'm so glad you did. I wish I was in the studio because I would also give you the big stadium audience applause. it's my favorite button, that and the buzzer, but you have said nothing buzzworthy today. So,
well, thank you.
Everything you said is beautiful and heartwarming, and what a beautiful way to start off this year. Even though we're in the midst of this pandemic and you're confined to your place, I can hear how much your mind is expanding and growing and changing, and really you're breaking free of the bonds that kept you in this toxic relationship to yourself with food as the relief.
That's exactly it. You know, and I have been in toxic relationships before, but I think the most toxic relationship I have ever had is with myself.
Yeah. And when your most toxic relationship is the one with yourself, you're going to use food to get away from yourself. Because what do people say about binges? They say, oh, I was in the binge zone. I wasn't feeling, I wasn't thinking, I wasn't like, I wasn't even there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now you can be with yourself and like and appreciate yourself, all aspects of you. And that is
exactly
a gift.
It's insane. It's insanity, but like in the best way possible. And I'm happy. And I'm telling, I've quite literally anybody that's asked me, like, hey, how are you? I basically tell them all of this. I'm like, you just have to know. I have to share with everybody because that's how happy I am. And I want others to be able to feel just as happy.
I love that. I love that. You're making me happy.
It's crazy because when you feel happy, you're more likely to put happiness out there and positive thoughts and all these things. And then you're attracting like what you're putting out there. And it's awesome. It's really, really awesome. And yes, a pandemic outside and we're going through all of this, but there is little things that I think we can all incorporate into our own lives that just not going to change the current situation, but it's definitely going to change the relationship we have to ourselves, which then, and in turn, affects how we deal with everything else, everything that's external to us. So it really does begin and end with yourself.
All our relationships, including our relationship to food, with food, start with our relationship with us. When we're miserable and critical and cruel to ourselves, we're a lot more likely to accept mean, judgmental, critical people, you know, people treating us that way. When we are loving and kind to ourselves and people are criticizing and judge us, we are going to have none of that. And we're only going to allow people who are kind and loving. And when we are loving with, you know, to ourselves and self-accepting and kind, then we don't need food for comfort because we're able to comfort ourselves.
Which is great. And one thing I said, because I'm like, one of my love languages is physical touch, which obviously can't really happen right now. So I've been hugging myself. Little things. I kid you not. When I'm sad, I hug myself and it makes me feel better.
So I got to share this. So she's saying that one of her love languages is physical touch. And obviously that's not happening now because we can't hug someone from 6 feet away. So she's hugging herself and it's working. So I love that. I love just the kind of the joy in your voice today. And like you've discovered something and it's
awesome.
It's sticking. And it's awesome. She says, yes,
it's awesome. And it's sticking. And I had to share that with you. So thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm so glad I'm so glad that you called in and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And keep up the good work and happy birthday and just
thank you.
Stay curious.
I don't see it going any other way.
Okay. Bye for now. You too. Bye. Okay. I'm going to finish my story. If anyone has any questions, let's save them for next week, or you can write them to me during the week and I'll answer them next week. So I was just saying that I had done an aerial cartwheel. I was 11 years old. I was the only one who could do it cartwheel. I looked at Coach and he's like, to Tracy, the skinny little star of the team, he said, don't let that yank beat you. And it crushed me. So that night, I just couldn't stop eating chicken. I hated chicken. Still, I'm not a fan of chicken, but I couldn't stop eating it. Swallowing filled a growing empty space within. Each bite pushed down the hurt welling up inside me. As I ate, the rest of the family discussed my brother's progress creating a robot. Not only was my brother a math prodigy, he was also musically gifted. Compared to the golden boy, I rated third-rate bronze. Later that night, I stared at myself in the bathroom mirror. Coach's words replayed over and over in my mind. I thought about how thin Tracy was, how petite. You're disgusting, I told my reflection. You have no willpower. You're never going to be a good enough gymnast. I drank 2 cups of warm water, leaned over the toilet, and stuck my toothbrush down my throat. Soon, the loathsome chicken dinner was spewing into the toilet. I flushed, watching the clumps of food swirl down the drain and feeling a surge of relief. Consciously, I was trying to lose weight, but it seemed that getting rid of the food also expelled my anguish. Purging became a nightly tradition, part of a cycle of restricting and binging that continued throughout my childhood into college. I struggled with restricting, binging, and bulimia. I considered myself the poster child for eating disorders. I finally went to therapy for anxiety. I shared my boyfriend issues, goals, dreams, and fears. I was open with my therapist about every aspect of my life except one. I never told her what was going on with food. I was too ashamed to reveal the truth. The bulimic episodes began occurring less frequently. Eventually, I stopped using food to cope. And by the time I left treatment, all my self-destructive food behaviors had stopped. Yet not once, not a single time during therapy, did I tell my therapist about my battles with food and my body. How is this possible? How did I recover from an eating disorder, three eating disorders, all eating disorders, without once talking about food? So here was my step one in my three steps to recovery / liberation. Stop dieting. For years, food was my best friend and my worst enemy. Every page of my teenage diaries was filled with numbers. I wrote down what I ate, what I didn't eat, how much I weighed, how much I was going to weigh after the next diet. I fell asleep counting calories and fat grams, wondering if I'd lose weight the next morning or gain it. When I hiked with friends, I wasn't enjoying the beautiful scenery. I focused instead on how many calories was I burning. I felt exhilarated when I was good and followed a restrictive diet. And eating anything with a carb plummeted me into despair. Months into therapy, I started paying attention to what was eating at me instead of focusing on what I was eating. I began noticing what foods nourished my body. I focused on my well-being instead of weight loss. I learned to differentiate between emotional and physical hunger. Once I stopped dieting, it was time to look inward to the true root of my behavior, which is step two, make peace with the past. Food was not actually the problem. It was a solution to the problem. The true problem was my toxic relationship with my emotions and myself, and that came from childhood. In treatment, I processed the pain of feeling inadequate compared to my brother. I realized why that day at the gymnastics practice, why it impacted me so much. I understood my deep yearning for coach's approval and the crushing disappointment when he overtly favored Tracy. Coach was a paternal figure who had a favorite, just as my parents appeared to favor my brother. I competed with Tracy, the star of the team, because I could not compete with my brother, the star of the family. I could not have a genius IQ like my brother, but I could change my body. I believed changing my appearance would make me more likable and lovable. By the time I was in college, I'd spent my life seeking attention from withholding adults and guys who left me empty and sad, which in turn led to disordered eating. I finally challenged the illusion that losing weight was an accomplishment that increased my value. My worth was not to be measured on a bathroom scale. Once I was no longer hungry for love, Andrea, you can relate, right? Once I was no longer hungry for love, I stopped repeating those old patterns. Instead of clinging to the hope that a rejecting person could magically become loving, I began trusting people who were kind and loving, who could see, acknowledge, and be with me. Step three, turn the inner critic into a friend. Ronan, let me know if I have enough time. I probably don't. I don't have enough time. I'm going to save step three for next week. Sorry to leave you guys hanging, but we only have a minute left. But in step three, I'm going to share what I actually did to change and the things that you can do too. And some of this is what I cover in my new book, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. For those of you who don't have it, here's what it looks like. You can get it on Amazon. But you can also listen next week where I'm going to share how I turn my inner critic into a friend so that you can as well. Because once you are a friend to yourself, food is no longer your friend. So thank you so much for joining me here today. I'm so glad to spend this time with you. I'm so glad you're spending this time with me. And please check out my website. By the way, I have a new offer on my website, Dr. Nina Inc., drninainc.com. You can read the first two chapters of my book for free. All you have to do is visit my website and sign up. It's a download, so it's not the actual book. There's no shipping, there's no handling, there's no anything. It's completely 100% free. Check it out. And also, if you're not a member of my online community, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community on Facebook, please join and join a group of like-minded people who get it and who are all working towards the same goal of feeling better in their lives. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay well. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.